Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week on Pop Gaze,
we talk Bing Bang Bong,
The Last of Us,
and Gaga's Dogs.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
For postmodern queers!
Hey,
how are you?
So good. So blessed.
We are back in the studio living our best lives.
Oh my God, it feels so nice. Let's never go back.
No, never.
Fuck Zoom.
Yeah.
It's gone straight to our heads.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Things taste different now. There's a spring in my step.
Yeah, people are commenting on like my skin everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Like, you look radiant.
Yeah, studios famously making your skin glow. No, it's really nice to be back. We love it here. How are you guys going? How's your week been?
It's actually been a good week.
It has been.
It feels shameful to say that because people are having such a tough time with the mini lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
But I had the fucking blast. I just moved and I was like, I need to be at home. So now I'm forced to, and this is great.
How's your new house going?
It's actually really cute. I was really worried at first because it's such a rundown house. Like, the carpets were really dirty and then we couldn't get them cleaned because the lockdown, the steam cleaner couldn't come in. So we just bought like all these rugs and put them everywhere and now it looks like a brand new house.
Oh, stunning. It's amazing what like a few rugs like laying over each other will do.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like hide all the stains from the previous tenants.
Yeah.
And that's it.
We had a similar thing a couple months ago because we used to have this like old like hairy shag rug.
Dare you call me that?
Yeah, Jordan just strewn on our floor. And we had like our coffee table sitting on top of it. And it's like one of those like legless coffee tables that you sit on the floor around. So like you always had to be very intimate with this shag carpet as well. And it was filthy. And we like finally got rid of it and replaced it with a nice new like plain blue one. And it just immediately like opened up and like cleaned out the room and everything's like, it's like surprising to us. We're like, why does this room feel so like nice and inviting now? We're like, oh, that's right, because we don't have this dead animal thing lying in the middle of it. Definitely helps.
This rotting carcass in the middle of the room. Yeah. Wow, the ambiance. Yeah.
I think it was starting to be sentient, our old shag, so it was just like, we need to let this thing go.
Oh, yeah, it's like one rug and I'm like, is this Vogue Living magazine?
Yeah. I'm trying to get more plants in my house as per, and like now I figured that you can't just have lots of plants. You have to have plants with a vision as to where to put them. Mm-hmm. Like you just think that having heaps of plants will make the room look nice, but it can still look shit.
Yeah.
It looks shit, but you have lots of plants, which says something about you as a person.
Yeah.
Which is that you can keep plants alive, and I think that's a compliment.
I think that's
very generous of you to think that my plants are alive.
They're still alive for a bit. They got like a week left in my head. A couple of them are looking sad. The 5-day lockdown, you're right. I feel like the first day, like that Saturday, was like I experienced a little bit of PTSD. I had a real sad day. I think because I was like, last time they said 2 weeks, and then it ended up being, and then that was like when everybody was like, ah, oh, legally this lockdown is actually supposed to go for 14 days. Mm. And there was a lot of whispers and stuff going around.
Rumors.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was a bit stressful, but I'm glad we did it. And, to be honest, wouldn't mind 3 days of lockdown every couple of months.
Yeah, every week. All right, Charlie.
Yeah. Four-day work week, the Scandinavian dream.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. Oh, those guys work 2 hours a day, right? Every time I hear about Scandinavia, they work like, they're like, ah, Scandinavians work 10 minutes a week and it's about to be more productive. Shit. Must be nice. I spent most of lockdown playing a video game. I had to edit a lot of another podcast that I was in that was a backlog, and I can't possibly focus on one thing at one time. Like, I have to have a lot going on. So I finally got into this game, this gay zombie game that my friend got me called The Last of Us. Have you guys heard of it?
Yeah. I've heard of it, yeah.
Have you heard about the controversy around it as well?
Am I right that it's like all these like idiot guys are like trying to like troll and reject the game because they're like, she's a lesbian and they're not into it or whatever?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I mean, you can try and find some more base to their claims, but they just don't like lesbians.
Yeah.
Like, so the first game was like really popular. It came out in like 2013. And then there was a long wait until the second one. And pretty much straight off the bat, the second one starts with the spoilers, but starts with her like having a gay relationship or like falling in love with this other girl in the game, and then they like go and kill zombies together, and it's mainly about them killing zombies together like doing all that stuff and baddies and things like that, and it's
classic lesbian.
Lesbian. And I kind of like, you get so into it that I'm like, I forgot that, like, oh, this is actually like pretty monumental, but this is just like,
and isn't it like the best-selling game ever or something like that?
It won best game of the year, I think, last year or the year before, whenever The Last of Us Part 2 came out. And the graphics are incredible. The story is incredible. Like, part of me is like just trying to kill all these zombies so I can get to the little movie bits.
Yeah.
Every time the movie bits end, I'm like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah,
I don't really want to play. But yeah, these MRAs, like I don't know what happened, why they're so mad. I try not to understand sometimes. I'm like, I don't need all perspectives.
Mm.
But they, my old housemate was looking for a PlayStation game to buy her boyfriend for his birthday. And this game had won best game of the year. And she was like, okay, this sounds good. And then she looked at all these reviews online. And it was getting like 1-star reviews, like PlayStation Store, it has like half a star and stuff like that. It's because these MRAs came out and like went hard and voted really low ratings and gave it scathing reviews because they hated it, which happens to also female stand-up comics too on Netflix and stuff like that. I don't know if you heard about Amy Schumer's The Leather special has like 1-star.
That's fucked.
And what, like, whatever you think about Amy Schumer, I think she's really funny. She doesn't. A lot of people don't really like her. A lot of people love her, you know. Yeah. And also, like, a lot of women love her. A lot of women don't like her, you know. It's not. It doesn't have to be just because she's female. But anyway, these MRAs went hard, didn't give her a chance, and just like gave her 1-star because how dare she be desired in movies?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I fucking hate that. That's a thing I'm considering when I'm putting out stuff.
Mm.
Because even on your Facebook page, you know how you get ratings and reviews. Mm. And I had this 5-star rating on my Facebook page for the longest time. And then like this random dude who didn't have a profile picture gave me like 1 or 0 stars. And then there was another one. And now it has like less stars than it initially did. And then I tried reporting those reviews to Facebook, but nothing happens because it doesn't seem illegitimate to them.
That sucks.
How unlike Facebook to not be a bastion of truth and
Remember when they blocked news?
Yeah, and now it's back.
They lasted for a week. It was a hot week.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they blocked the Bureau of Meteorology. Like,
They blocked Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Oh, that's true.
there was all this random shit that got blocked.
Another thing we can blame our low ticket sales on.
Yeah, that's it.
Facebook.
Yeah, my show was too factual.
Yeah, someone was saying that Eventbrite went down the other day, and I was like, oh, that explains it. Oh, that's tough.
Am I a journalist now?
Oh my god, what a week for news. How did you guys go with the lockdown? Were you guys, well, Aurelia, you were nesting, so you were like, this is great.
Nesting mama bird over here.
I used it as an opportunity to catch up on shows. So I finally finished It's a Sin. And it destroyed me.
Oh, man.
Like, I needed, like, that whole next day. I was just in my pajamas the entire day, just, like, walking from room to room. Like, like, it was that kind of energy. Yeah. I haven't cried like that in, like, 10 years. It's full on.
And you go into it. The interesting thing is, like, you go into it being like, oh, this is going to destroy me.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you're like, I can't stop crying.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And... like, we were chatting about this before, Jordan, but, like, how nice it is to have a queer show written by queer people, performed by queer people that actually has given a shit about, like, casting, you know, people with that experience. And it makes it just such a special, nice thing. And, like, the show is so honest as well. Like, I couldn't help but thinking, like, because I watched it with my boyfriend, and we were just saying, like, that's us. Like, you know, if we were growing up in the 80s, like, we would be dead. Like, that's it. And it was just, It was really a lot.
And it also is, I mean, I don't know, they must have shot it before COVID really kicked off. I'm not really sure when they filmed it. But it was interesting, the parallel between... yeah. Our lockdowns, how serious coronavirus has been taken, as it should be, but how long the AIDS epidemic was ignored.
And also because of the misinformation and the like hush hush, like, we don't want to talk about the taboo of, like, homosexuality and this kind of stuff. So, like, all of those, like, stigmas shoved together just was this recipe for absolute like, devastation.
And the heroes of the story, the gays in it, they're not all angels. They're not these, like, saints and martyrs or anything like that. Like, and it was also very interesting watching the differing views amongst these friends, where I'm like, this is the world that we live in.
That's very true. Like, Richie has, like, this kind of, like, I'm invincible and, like, this whole thing is not a thing. It's so, like, he's pious and it's so frustrating because it's so exact. Like, that's, there are always going to be people who don't understand it until they're in the thick of it. Scary, scary stuff. But yeah, beautiful, beautiful show. Highly recommend it to everyone. It will change your life.
It will.
I'll watch it when I have a little bit more serotonin.
Just to come crashing back down.
Actually, I'm getting a little bit too full of myself. I'm gonna...
like, I need to be a little bit more depressed so I can write better jokes.
Yes. Maybe you need to watch it now so that then, like, the only way is up. You know? It can only get better from there. I really enjoy also the fact that it's, like, the thing that broke me is finding out that Richie is based on Russell T Davies, who wrote the show, and the Jill character is also based on a real
woman.
Person as well.
Yeah.
Which, watching that show, I was like, I feel like Jill is based on a whole load of women.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, that's a generation of hags that
watched
their fags.
Powerful hags. A beautiful show.
Speaking of fags, we have to discuss Bing Bang Bong, Clap for the UK Hun.
Bing Bang Bong, Sing Song.
Ding Dang Dong.
Oh my god. It was stuck in my head for such a long time. You're all, like, up to date with the most recent episode?
Yes.
Yeah. I was not surprised. I feel like it went exactly as I predicted.
Oh, Sister Going Home.
Yes.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Really? She really stayed longer than we all thought.
She went
out first week. I did find it interesting when everybody was, like, championing Joe Black, as I was as well, being like, Joe Black left too early. And then she came back and I was like, no.
She went at the right time.
No, honestly, I didn't like Joe Black to start with.
Oh, wow.
Because of that, like, whole arrogance of, like,
I'm a legend.
Like, I am this character and I have all this experience and you better watch out for me. And then it's like, you're not doing what they're looking for.
Exactly.
Jo's one of those queens where it's like, you are an incredible drag queen, but you're not good at Drag Race. Like, Drag Race is not an indication of, like, your caliber as a performer, but it is a particular type of show. You know, there are queens like Trixie, even, who are, like, terrible at Drag Race, but, like, incredible queens.
Yeah.
And I think Jo is one of those. Mm.
Similar to Tia Coffey as well. Like,
oh my God,
in the sense,
I love Tia Coffey.
I really love Tia Coffey, but I was like, you are not going to win Drag Race.
Yeah.
Like, you are not.
I also think I have this friend who is a drag queen, and she always posts these, like, reviews of Drag Race, especially Drag Race UK, because she's from the UK. And she's just criticizing how Ru was reading Tia, being like, you could look like me if you had a team of 50 people. But like, guess what? Tia doesn't have a team of 50 people.
No,
that was insensitive.
Yeah, she doesn't probably have even the funds to get those amazing costumes. A lot of the queens work at a drive-through, like Ellie Diamond. Mm-hmm. They can't be affording these types of extravagant costumes. So, yeah, like, there is a place for drag queens, like, in my heart, that are local queens.
Scrappy.
That are scrappy and that have so much character. But, yeah, they're not going to win Drag Race. But they have star quality in their own right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm. They're kind of, like, that's a conversation that's really left out of Drag Race. It's, like, the inequity between the queens, especially the ones who... I mean, like, watching Ellie Diamond talk about how her and her family had to disband because they all lost their jobs in COVID and move into... I mean, she's like, it actually worked out well for her because she's got a spare room for her drag stuff now.
Yeah.
But it was just like that. Like, you can't have, like, a horror walking down in couture. Like, most of the time a horror is designed her own stuff as well.
Yeah.
But there's queens like... oh, my goodness, what's her name? Aquaria. Who are literally walking down in, like, Prada.
Yeah.
Mm. And then Heidi in
Or Gottmik this season.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's wearing, like, custom couture every single runway, you know, like, has spent maybe, you know, like...
She might win.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, she came into the competition a makeup artist.
To the stars.
Yeah, like, to the stars. So, of course, it's not a level playing ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, like, it's interesting because... I remember when I started drag, feeling this great sense of, like, I need to have that. I'm not ready yet. Just because it seemed like Drag Race has kind of made a monopoly and it's sort of Instagram-ified drag that unless you can have, like, this, like, state-of-the-art photo shoot with an incredible custom couture costume, you feel like, you know, you can't. It's not on the level. And I felt this need to have, like, variety of outfits as well because I'd be like, oh, well, I did this gig in that outfit, so I have to now get a whole new outfit because I can't, like, repeat outfits. Because on Drag Race, they're like, oh, you know, you wore those shoes in the last runway. It's like, who gives a fucking shit? Like, was my performance good, you know? And so, like, I get a real thrill out of seeing a queen like Tia Coffey who looks like trash but is absolutely hilarious and a star, like, bantering with the judges and, like... Tia's, like, rapport and ability to, like, take the critiques and just, like, kind of, like, throw it back and bounce with them.
Yeah.
I thought was legendary.
Yeah.
And I have enjoyed the UK season especially for its, like, thrown together quality because it seems much less pageanty than the US, which is all about, like, these, you know, models with... gowns and
I find that the new season of US Drag Race I'm not that interested in because all of the queens are already so polished and the unpolished ones like go in episode one or episode two and like no I want to see a storyline like
the growth
that you could see in the older seasons when everyone was scrappy and nobody had perfect teeth.
Yeah, like look at Adore, like, you know, she came in some like Dangerfield skirt and was like, you know, let's party. Me too.
So much.
And
oh my God.
That was such a fun trajectory to watch her sort of, you know, make it to the end, whereas this doesn't tend to happen anymore.
Yeah.
No, this is true. And then we kind of forget that the birthplace of drag is, like, people scrounging things together.
Yeah.
And as much as, like, the popularity of Ru and RuPaul's Drag Race has been great, this, like, it's kind of streamlined, especially, like, mainstream ideals of drag, which, you know, affects you, Charlie, coming into it as well. And other people have been like, well, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough this, I don't have enough that, I can't get in. And
it,
like,
is so expensive.
It's so
the
expensive.
Makeup alone, like, people don't realize, because it's not just like, I mean, makeup in general is already incredibly expensive, but like theater makeup, drag makeup is like, you have to get the like really, really strong stuff from specialty stores, and it's crazy expensive. You know, and people will just be like, oh, like, that's why when I get annoyed when I see people commenting being like, her wig was shit or her wig line was shit. And it's like people who've never done drag in their life. And it's like, do you understand how much, like, you know, a lace front costs? Or like, do you understand how much like wig glue even costs? Like, you know, these things are not just like in everyone's like stash. And it's not always as simple as just like, just pay that, just pay that. Sometimes you have to just be like, you know.
You have bills.
Yeah. I want to eat this week.
Electricity is overdue.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's it'd be interesting to see where, because I feel like that's the next thing that Drag Race kind of has to tackle and stuff like that. And there are already people who are dropping off who are like, I don't want to watch Drag Race anymore for, you know, various reasons. Ru certainly isn't the patron saint of
fracking.
Yeah. Which is ironic because Ru started as a gender fuck drag artist in the club scene. And like you see old like photos of Ru and hear about those stories, and Ru is a punk. Like it was not the kind of very polished Emmy Award winning package that it is right now. So he definitely has in him a love for those people, but I think sometimes, he gets into executive producer mode and it kind of shifts into that, like, cracking it at the Queens. And it really was such a, like, abrupt and insensitive thing, because they even had in that episode where Ru cracked it at everyone.
About H&M?
Yeah, but, like, it followed, like, that really heartbreaking scene where they were all, like, commiserating about, like, we've lost our livelihoods.
Yes! Oh my God, yes, it was.
Like, oh, read the room.
So funny. Oh my God, yes, I forgot about that.
And then Ru had like an apology afterwards. It was like clearly some like producer pulled like Ru aside and was like, you're coming off as the bitch. Like,
yeah, wow.
But also, I think that second group suffered all because of Joe Black.
Totally.
Because Joe Black was like the leader of that group in some way and was like, oh, I have this fun pink thing that was like from H&M, and then everyone else wore really drab shit.
Yeah. But the power of that UK King Dolls.
Oh my God.
I have listened to it on repeat.
I saw a video of someone in, it must have been Poof Doof, and it's playing, and I'm like, I forgot that we could go to clubs and that play. Yeah. I still haven't gone out. I still have not gone out.
I don't think I have either. Other than gigs and bars and stuff, I haven't, We should go clubbing.
We should go clubbing. Oh my God, that would be great. That would actually be very good.
Yeah. Have you been to Rainbow House Club, that new place?
This is the one I want to go to.
Yeah,
that's the one I think that where they were playing Bing Bang Bong.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
It's so good. Bimini has got to win.
Yes.
I love Bimini Bombulash so much.
Mm.
Her, like, just effortless charm.
Absolutely. And her kindness as well. Like, she'll often, like, just tell people, like, you did really well. And, really nice. But, I'm interested to see how they go. I heard someone say that the US season, the reason that they're not getting rid of Queens is because Ru is trying to elongate the series as long as possible so that they have a live finale.
Oh my God. Keep dreaming.
Yeah. Totally.
We're going to be on like episode 96 and, you know, seven queens remain. It's like, oh my God.
Imagine how many people have had to like convince Ru that like having a live finale is not a good idea in the US right now.
Yeah.
And she's just like,
Ru's like, there's a pandemic? What?
Never heard of it.
I was the first to get vaccinated.
On a whole other note, can we please discuss Gaga's dogs?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. I looked them up to see how cute they were. I was like, who's coming to steal these dogs? There must be some cute dogs. And
they got found.
We've just found out from our good friend with the hot tea. Dogs are safe.
That's so good.
She has two French bulldogs.
Gustavo and they have another great name.
Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you, when I, like, I found out at dinner with my family, with my pop there, and my brother was like, I was like, you know, she's offered $500,000, something ridiculous, for people to find the dogs, but she's not offered anything to the guy who got shot. And I was like,
took four fucking bullets.
Totally. And then my pop, quick as ever, the man doesn't speak, but he came out really quickly with, well, she knows what happens to the guy who walked the dogs.
Oh, my God.
She doesn't know where the dogs are.
Yeah. Oh, and Lady Gaga isn't even in Hollywood right now. She's in Rome shooting a movie.
Oh, my goodness. Ah, the plot thickens.
But she did call her dog Walker a hero.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's literally the least you could do. The man who took four bullets.
But also, she probably has some crazy insurance. You know, like, he is going to be on, like, a nice retirement.
Yeah, he'll get on Ellen. I hope so. Eventually, it'll be fine. Yeah. But,
oh, my God, this poor
Ellen
guy.
Still happening?
She's still going, isn't she?
Yeah, just dancing in her mansion.
Oh, my God. What would you do if your dogs got stolen?
Oh, for fuck's sake, I would tear society apart. I saw, because I actually read up about this, when I saw the Gaga thing, I was just so mind blown. I was looking up about dog theft.
Oh, it's
and
so bad.
It's actually a real thing at the moment during pandemic. Like, they say that it's like, I think I saw some stat that was like, it's like 1,000% more like dog thefts are happening at the moment, because with all these lockdowns and travel bans and that kind of stuff, a lot of breeders who would usually get purebreds imported and this kind of stuff can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So people who want to sell purebreds are stealing like specialty dogs like French bulldogs or Dachshunds and this kind of stuff, when they see them out and about, to try and like replenish their breeding pools.
Oh my God.
And also, yeah, sometimes they, if they're not breedable or they're de-sexed, they would just resell it for a higher price kind of thing, because people will pay a lot of money for it in lockdown, especially. And yeah, it's like a really big thing. And I saw that there was like, there's a couple in the UK at the moment that had their Dachshund stolen that have put their life savings like as the reward. Saying like, no questions asked, we will give you our life savings sort of thing. And like, it broke my heart, because I was like, I would do that. Like, I don't even give a shit. Like,
yeah.
My max is $1,000.
My life savings.
Which is your life savings?
I'm like, $1,000. Otherwise,
yeah,
you keep that little monster. No, I love my dog, but I'm like, my life savings. Do I want a property or do I want my little dog?
Good luck, Kenzo.
Good luck out there. It's like, those are your parents now.
Yeah, totally. Some dogs get taken for dog fighting as well.
Oh, no.
Which is brutal. So, you like puppies and stuff. I remember when my family got a Cavoodle, hyperallergenic dog. They were like, don't, like, make sure that there's the dog can go inside at all times and stuff like that, because they get like, they will get used as live bait and stuff like that, which is so cooked.
That
but
is
then
insane.
Yeah, and so I like always saw the dogs are getting stolen for that. I didn't know about the breeding thing, but I also found out because our dog is like Staffy, Pity, Husky, Boob Lady, and people will like steal her as well to breed fighting dogs, but also to like try and get her to fight too.
Oh, no.
I don't think that anyone would once they meet her, but
yeah.
But a friend of a friend who actually got us onto the fostering group that we got Sky from, there were lots of dogs during COVID and stuff who, after things, COVID, when things started to open up a lot more, people's rescue dogs were getting stolen again, because people, like, the dog fighting stuff was coming back and they needed
I didn't know that that was
stuff.
Even, like, a thing. That's horrible.
Oh, it's a really, yeah, it's just really sad. And there's, like, a lot of, there's a lot of rescue dogs come from dog fighting stuff. Not a lot, but like enough. And they just take a lot of rehabilitation. They can get rehabilitated, and it's really beautiful when that happens.
Yeah, there is this Netflix show called Canine Intervention. And we've watched two episodes because, like, that's the only thing I can watch right now is, like, something that doesn't really have any substance to it. But it's this guy who's had this, like, dog that had to be put down because it was aggressive. And that changed his life, and he became a dog trainer. And he goes to people's homes and, like, Marie Kondos their dogs.
Oh, my God. I love it.
We watched him.
It's like Super Nanny.
Yeah, it's like he teaches them all these things. And in the U.S., there's actually – I mean, there's dog trainers here, obviously. But there's people sending their dogs to live with a trainer for a week. And they're like, after that, my dog came back a new dog. And the trainer does, like, everything for you.
Yeah. I saw that on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. yeah. Kim Richards sends her dog off to get trained. And they show some of the footage of it. And it's, like, him taking the dog, like, with a pack of, like, already trained dogs. Because a lot of, like, ideal dog training is about, like, the pack and, like, them understanding the family unit. So he, like, takes Kim's dog with him and, like, 10 other dogs to, like, this, like, field, and it's, like, them, like, sleeping out in the wilderness and, like, all this kind of stuff, but then the dog comes back and it's, like, a changed man.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, like, I would pay $1,000 for that.
Yeah.
So many storylines in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is around a dog.
Yeah.
It's remember Dorit?
Yeah. Oh, Gigi, Gigi, what's his name? Lisa Vanderpump's.
Oh, Gigi. It's, like, Gigi or Gigi. Oh, the little ferret dog that I assume died years ago.
Yeah. It just recently died.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Yeah. Jiggy.
Jiggy, that's right. If there is a dog hell, he's there.
Well, I used to think that Jiggy was the Ken, her husband's, like, soul.
Was Ken.
Because they were always attached, and I thought, you know, it was one of those things, like, Ken is the, like, robot body for this little alien dog. That was my conspiracy theory. So I thought that Ken would drop dead when Jiggy died.
Yeah, I mean, you would assume.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
His face is so heavy with filler that he could drop at any moment.
Yeah.
Oh, Lisa Vanderpump and her weird dogs. She has a dog rescue that looks like it's solely for hand, like, designer dogs. I'm like, I don't know if this is legit, Lisa.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem right.
There's a niche for everything.
There certainly is. while we're talking about Hollywood and stuff like that, did you guys see Justin Timberlake's apology?
I haven't. I've heard Neither. Of it, but I've heard that it's crap.
Have you seen the...
Do you want to fill us in?
Yeah, have you seen the Britney documentary yet?
Oh, yeah, man.
I've How did you it. Manage to... Like, I couldn't find a way to watch it.
I think it got deleted because it was on YouTube. Because it was literally...
Oh, was that not the official platform? Was that like a rip of it?
It was like produced by New York Times.
Yeah, but it was New York Times and...
Hulu?
Who's the guy, the video ones, Vivo? You know how every artist video is that? So it was like New York Times via Vivo. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. And it was legit. It was the legit link. And at that point, it had like millions of views. Mm-hmm. And then my friends were looking for it later. And I was like, oh, here. And then it was gone. Yeah. So it must be very good.
Yeah.
It was kind of, they didn't really get into... they got into the conservatorship, how it came to be, why it was brought in, but they also, like, very much covered a lot of it was kind of about the media coverage of Britney Spears and like some of the really messed up things happened to her. And I forgot, or I don't think I even registered this as a child, but like especially her and Jessica Simpson and Mandy Moore, there was a real fetishization of their virginity as well.
Yeah.
So her virginity was this like coveted thing that she was like this sweet teenage girl. And when she was on the cover, there's that iconic photo of her on the cover of, was it Playboy? Where she's got her top unbuttoned and she's wearing a
Rolling
black bra.
Rolling Stone,
that's it. And that, like they had talked about how she's not going to reveal anything. She was just going to wear cute pajamas in bed, yada yada. Mm. And then the second,
say her prayers,
absolutely, protect her hymen. Yeah. But then her mum left the room, and the second the mum left the room, the photographer of convinced course. Her to unbutton her shirt and all that kind of stuff
because they wanted to be the one.
Yeah,
to break.
Like, yeah, absolutely. And it was like it, yeah,
so grubby.
It was definitely that thing where, like, she was manipulated into doing over-sexualized stuff, but also when she wanted to do it, she was punished for it. Mm. And, like, but I feel like we just couldn't decide how we wanted to drag that woman. And it's just crime is a crime. Celebrity is awful.
So how does Justin Timberlake come into the whole thing?
So this whole thing about her virginity was, like, a big discussion. And then when they broke up, he was like, she cheated on me with blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And he was on a radio station and they were like, did you take her virginity? And he was like, oh, yeah. And then, like, talked about it. And then he also played into her being, like, this, like, slutty bitch mentality by the Cry Me a River video clip. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The video clip, he hired an actress to play Britney. Like, she looked identical to Britney. And, like, it was all about her having a man over and then having a shower and him knowing and her breaking his heart and stuff like that, which is all a lie, but he was just feeding into that. And it brought up a lot of things like the Super Bowl performance as well with Janet Jackson and how he really left Janet Jackson in the dark. He was like, look after yourself. And that ruined her career.
It did.
That ruined her career. And he was just like, oh, I had no idea. She planned it, blah, blah, blah. Threw her under the bus. And a lot of people were like, Justin Timberlake
cancelled because his whole genre as well is like taking from essentially black R&B, and he's like this palatable white boy who everyone's like, oh my god, look at his crispy hair, he's so cute, look at that noodle mop,
oh my god, that like 2 minute noodles hair.
The tuna, like honestly, like that was only a thing because he was able to step on all of these women's necks and copy black music and be palatable by the mainstream masses, and now he's basically retired.
Yeah And it's so interesting that he's like next to all these like popular like scandals and he's part of them
and he has scot-free.
Yeah
he's still got this pristine image. Nobody thinks of Justin Timberlake as a bad guy, but I think he is.
You're a white straight cis man in Hollywood with money. You're all good.
And he's got this, now he's got this like cute dad persona as well.
Exactly. I hate that. Mm-hmm. I hate that he's got away like this. Talking about straight white cis males in Hollywood, Shia LaBeouf and FKA Twigs.
Yes.
That interview she had with Gail, what's her last name? That talk show host.
Oprah's name.
Oh. Yeah. Wife. Beard. Lover.
You know who. Where she asked FKA Twigs why she stayed, even though she was essentially being abused and kind of, I want to say, held hostage, although that's not the right word.
I think it's the same. Yeah.
It is. It is, essentially. And she said what everyone was thinking, what everyone should say, which is that that's not the right question to ask.
Yeah.
Like, why are we asking people who are being abused why they stayed? Why aren't we asking the abusers why they're acting that way?
FKA Twigs coming in coming out about all this stuff is incredibly brave, because it also is even though it's undeniable that she experienced abuse, there are people out there who will hear this story and not believe that it is abuse, which is devastating. But so she's really put herself into this, you know, kind of firing zone of public judgment to empower other women to and other people in various relationships to be like, oh, what I'm experiencing
is real.
Is real. And it's not normal to feel this scared and controlled.
Yeah.
And
which is why a question like that that has is laced with like victim blaming, it's just like, this is not what we need right now.
Yeah, it's 2021, wake up. And also when she initially, before this interview, I think released a statement or an interview where she said that she felt trapped in this relationship, even though she had funds to get on a first class flight back to her townhouse in the UK, she felt like she had to stay in LA and like she couldn't leave. And like that, I think that was so like powerful of her to say, because so many people think that the only way you can be in that situation is if you're a woman who doesn't have any funds to go anywhere, you're trapped in like a one bedroom apartment, but it looks so differently. Like there's people in these situations in Toorakan mansions and in the western suburbs in like tiny apartments. There's no person who is spared from this, no matter how rich they are or how famous they are.
And it just amplifies how hard it is for like people in like lower socioeconomic situations. Like, because it's like, if even, you know, extremely wealthy celebrities can't, you know, are feeling emotionally abused or trapped, like, imagine how you are if you are also financially limited. Like, it's just compounded onto itself.
Did you guys ever listen to or watch the Dirty John series?
No.
That's another very similar case of a woman being, like, emotionally and economically abused by her partner. And super wealthy woman from LA, and in the there's a Netflix series with Eric Bana, and that southern woman,
Reba.
Oh, we'll get back to Reba. But they in that they also like there's a scene where she like suddenly has all these movers come pack up her house and she moves and she's still not safe. And the thing that really nails, even though it definitely, like, you know, is another depiction of a wealthy white woman experiencing abuse, whereas like it's there's a myriad of different experiences, but what it did show is like it truly, like you were saying, it doesn't matter how much money you have, where you are. It makes a huge difference in terms of protecting yourself later on, for sure. But no one is immune to something like that happening to them, which is devastating, but I hope that something comes from this for FKA Twigs.
Just to loop back to the Justin Timberlake thing, what was his apology?
So he says that, well, his apology, like, well, I don't know. I what is a good apology? I don't know. I can't. Yeah. I've read so many now that I'm like, oh. But he does say, he's like, yeah, I definitely benefited from a white misogynistic industry that supported me the whole way through, yada yada yada. And who can say that in the same position we wouldn't do the same thing as well? But I think a lot of people were just like, too late.
No, I'm like, where are the reparations?
Exactly. Yeah, so he's just like, I take full responsibility, I should have protected, yada yada. And like,
it is too late.
Not once did he say free Britney.
Yeah, he needs to use his platform for good now. Yeah. It's not enough to say, I'm sorry, I fucked up.
Yeah, absolutely. You brought up Reba before. It hasn't come out in Australia yet, but Kristen Wiig's new film.
Oh, where Barb and Star?
Barb and Star's something.
Summer Holiday or something.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
It looks super camp.
Yeah.
Reba plays a mermaid in it.
Yes! Oh my God.
When is it coming out?
It's out in the States now, so I guess it'll come out here in the next, like, couple months.
Yeah. But, like, I've been seeing, like, they have, like, an Instagram ad that got advertised to me, and I was like, the algorithm has finally done me a solid and show me something I like.
Do you ever watch a show and you're like, or a movie, and you're like, the casting agent and I have the same taste?
Yeah.
Did you see the news about Mr. Potato Head getting a rebrand to be gender neutral?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
But I'm not sure what the new name is.
It's just Potato Head. So, because they used to have a Mr. Variety and then a Mrs. Variety.
Yeah.
Now it's just you buy a potato head.
But wasn't it also a Mrs. Potato Head, or is that only Toy Story?
Yeah,
no, there were
Mrs. Potato Heads as well, but I think they're scrapping both. Like, it's just going to be
Potato Heads.
And isn't that the way that, you know, deep down, we are all just potatoes. Big blob potato heads.
Exactly. Yep. I will say that, like, neither Mr. or Mrs. Potato Head look like they were fucking with a binary to begin
with. Yeah.
This isn't a huge shock.
Yeah, what person looked at the potato heads and was like, I'm not represented by this?
I do love the dynamic of Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head in the Toy Story films.
Oh, yeah. It's good. George Costanza's mother voice actress.
Shrieking. Oh, my God. I love a shrill woman. Yeah. That's my favorite thing. But that's pretty exciting. Of course, everyone's getting mad about it.
Yeah. It was always the same shape. Like, Miss or Mrs. Potato Head. Like, there's no... Yeah. Like, there's no dick.
No, yeah. That's fine. Oh, my goodness.
They never had orifices. Like, it's fine.
It's a potato.
Yeah.
Why are you worried about a potato's genitals?
It's kind of like how, have you been seeing, like, all the, like, lollies and, like, kids' candies that had, like, racist names or problematic names have, over the past couple of years, been changing? Like, I know that there was, I think it was, like, Chico Babies or something like that. And Red Skin Lollies.
Yeah.
They've all changed.
And Coon Cheese.
Yeah.
Has that changed too? Wow.
Not yet on shelves, but soon.
Yeah, which is good, but also a strange one because that one I'm pretty sure was, like, a surname.
Yeah, it is a surname of the family. But, like, there was this really interesting, like, discussion of, like, yeah, that's your surname, but also you could change the name of the cheese.
Yeah, true.
And not,
like, it doesn't...
You still own the company and get the money. Who cares?
Exactly. Yeah. If my last name was a slur,
I would probably change it.
Well, I mean, Fags Mitre 10 is called... Oh,
that's true.
Rocking and rolling.
Fags Mitre 10 down in the Bellarine. which I assume is owned by two beautiful older lesbians. Shipped ashore.
Those people against it are always saying that it's just a name. But if it's just a name, why can't we change it?
True.
Now, people got really upset. And the more that they defended it, the more I was like, guys.
Who are the real snowflakes?
Yeah. Calm down. People say they're not going to buy the cheese anymore. Rude. I just don't think it's going to affect their sales.
No.
I don't think it is.
No.
I mean, I always buy Coles brand, so.
Yeah.
I always buy the cheapest cheese they have. Mm. So if the prices are coming down, I'm buying it.
I'm a cheese stringers bitch. You know?
Oh my god. I give them to my dog as treats.
Oh, yes.
People get so angry. I mean, speaking of as well, we haven't really discussed this. It happened a little while ago, but the Coogee women's baths.
Oh yeah.
Situation. That was like, it felt like an issue that ended up getting solved, or a miscommunication thing, but then TERFs were just like, we're gonna make this our lives.
So to fill the listeners in, the Coogee baths in New South Wales got kind of like lampooned online because part of their
because it's a it's called a women's baths, and it's like historical. It has been like a place for women to swim. And on their website, they had this policy, I guess, saying that trans women could only come post-op.
Yes, if they'd had a sex change.
Oh, that's so violent.
It is horrific.
That wording is just awful.
Yeah, I just don't think any consideration was put like, I don't fucking know who works there, but they don't know how hard it is to go through that, to raise those funds, to go through recovery. And also some people don't want to go through it.
Exactly.
And they're just as valid as women as if they did.
Yeah.
And yeah, everyone was posting on Instagram about this until it changed. And
but
then it did.
But I think they did like a halfway step. Like, I think it's like they've fully removed that policy now. Yeah. But at one point they were like, oh, like they did, I can't remember what it was, but they kind of amended the policy, but it was still transphobic. It still had like a sense of like exclusionary, almost like inspection. Like how are you even going to know? Like, what does this imply? Like, are you going to like check in people's bikinis, you know, for our genitals and all this kind of stuff? Like it opened up this weird can of worms about scrutinizing trans bodies. And it was just, it was shitty. But even though they've changed it, I don't know. If I was a trans woman, I would not want to go there now. You know, I'd be like, I don't, this place has clearly shown that they don't give a shit about me. Yeah. So.
Like, don't bother.
Yeah.
To sort of like, to minimize the trans experience down to pre-op, post-op. It's very, dangerous.
It's like who, I just want to know who works there.
Give me their numbers.
Like, give me their numbers. I'm going to egg the place.
Yeah.
Speaking of genitals, did you guys see this week that Jonathan Bassett, who is Aaron Samuels from Mean Girls, he put up a story that was like, I think he's like lying in a cabana by a pool, and it's him taking a photo of the coffee that he's drinking, and it's just like got some caption like, you know, loving the sun or whatever, and in the reflection of his coffee cup it like reflects onto him, and you can see that he's naked, and he's, it's just got like his full dick hanging out.
Oh my god.
It's so
what is he packing?
Yes, it's huge. So you know,
good for him.
Yeah, good for Aaron Samuels.
To be the gay.
His dick looks sexy pulled back, so.
Oh my goodness. I'm obsessed with these accidental dick reveals on celebrity stories. I'm convinced that they're not accidental.
Oh, absolutely. And like, that's the other thing. Like, it was so well framed in this shot as well. It's like, and he's like, he's come out as gay and like definitely lent into the like being a sexy Instagram thought. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like part of his like PR new like angle.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like, that could never happen to me. I would never accidentally flash my puss. Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. It's in my coffee cup. Yeah.
Have you guys ever, like, I go through phases where I'm really nonchalant about, like, naked bodies, and then other times where I'm really, like, aware of it. But sometimes if I'm in, like, if I'm dancing funny, I'm like, this could be very funny to put on Instagram. Oh, I am fully naked.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wait, maybe not.
Yeah. I have that thing that I was thinking about recently, which is that, like, every time I get out of the shower, I'll, like, go straight onto my phone. And sometimes, like, I'll just be sitting naked on my phone, like, scrolling on Twitter or whatever. And I'm like, I haven't fucking put on anything. I'm just sitting here getting hypothermia. It's so hard to get out of the shower and just, like, actually get dressed.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm the least motivated once I get out of the shower.
Yeah.
And you think it's going to perk you up, get you ready for the day. And you're like, no, I've been in a towel for 6 years. So violent.
Have you guys been watching WandaVision? Bit of a segue.
No, I haven't. But I've heard good things, and I'm also happy for you to spoil away.
Yeah, have you watched it, Aurelia?
I haven't, but I do have Disney Plus.
Yeah, you should watch it because it's... So I'm not even like a Marvel bitch, but Josh is super, super into it. And so I've always like kind of gone along with him when he's going to see the movies. And so I have like a loose understanding of the series, but this series is like Disney or Marvel's like first like TV venture, and they have gone all out. Like, it's...
Isn't it like $6 million an episode or something?
It's the most incredible, like, formula I've ever seen, because, like, without spoiling, basically the idea is that, like, Wanda, who is a witch, has lost vision, and her grief has kind of manifested in this way that, like, this, like, magic is happening, that she's created this like fantasy world for herself. And it's this really interesting discussion of like grief and how like we create worlds for ourselves. It's beautiful. Mm. And there was a quote in the most recent episode, and I was like, I did not expect Marvel to be like hitting me with one of these feels. But the quote was like, what is grief if not the perseverance of love?
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a really neatly put, beautiful idea. And yeah, it's just incredibly acted, really interesting, beautiful show. You should definitely watch. But also, I found out recently that the actress who plays Wanda, Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh, yes!
Is Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's little sister.
She is!
I had no idea.
Oh, my God. Welcome to the rest of your life.
Yeah. have you seen the diss track?
There's a diss track?
Yes. It's like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen when they were like six or whatever. It's them doing this like, yeah, like roast of Elizabeth, who's like three, and it's like, we don't want to play with you, you're a piece of gum, like all this kind of stuff.
Oh my god, that's so rude.
Yeah, I don't know why they did it. Must have been part of like some show.
I am curious about that like dynamic between those sisters,
because Mary-Kate and Ashley are like so close
and so weird.
I remember when one of them got married, I don't know which one, but the photos of the wedding, it was just like trays and trays of cigarettes. And everyone was smoking indoors at their, like, I don't know, $7 million brownstone in New York City.
Wow.
Oh, I think it's the one who recently got divorced.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Over Zoom.
Over Zoom.
Did you see this?
It's foreboding having trays of cigarettes. Yeah. I'm shocked they're getting divorced. What happened with the Zoom divorce?
I don't know if it got, like, leaked or something like that, but there is this just, like, footage up online. Like, you can watch Mary-Kate Olsen's, like, divorce proceedings over Zoom. And it's, like, all these, like, people and, like, lawyers in, like, black just, like, grimly looking into the camera. And I was like, this is a snapshot of 2020.
Yeah, wow. She was married to the French prime minister's brother or some shit.
Whoa.
Yeah, he looks like a mobster. And he's like 100 years old.
Yeah. Nice. No, he does.
Yeah.
But talking about weddings, divorces, let's go to engagements, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Which brings us to our pop-off love.
Pop-off love.
No. I can't. I'm too out of sync.
Okay, I'll go and then you go. Pop or flop?
Pop or flop?
Pop or flop?
Paris Hilton's engagement.
Congrats, bitch.
So, model and activist. Paris Hilton got engaged.
Oh my god. I mean, whatever.
I think she's turning 40 next week, so it seems like very like I need to be married by 40 energy to me.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it felt like just last week we were watching the Paris Hilton doco where she was with that other guy.
Yes.
And having that chaotic energy and like her talking about like how she'd just come out of a bad engagement, and I don't know. This seems very quick to me.
Well, the ring is huge. And yeah. 40 is the new 30.
This is true.
I don't know. When I was like a teenager, I was like, I need to be married by the time I'm 25.
Oh my God. No, like,
I imagined this whole life. I was like married really early and had like 5 kids.
Yeah, nice.
But this was like a different time.
Yeah.
And I feel like people don't get married like that anymore.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
I mean, like, at my age, my parents were like, they had me, my brother, a dog, a house, a mortgage.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, like, they were on their way out.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. My mom was pregnant with her third kid by now. And I'm like, she keeps like, I don't know. My parents have just started, this is a minor segue, but they've just started planting seeds of like, are you going to freeze your eggs?
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm like, okay. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm a baby.
Yeah.
It's full on. I don't know. I think, do you think Paris wants kids? Did she say that in her documentary?
I don't think she does.
Yeah. I think she wants kids in her life, but I don't think she wants to be a mum. Mm.
She's much more suited to being a dog mum.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm. Yeah.
Given what I know of her.
Given what I know about her dogs.
Yeah.
So engagements, pop or flop? Like in general.
In general?
In general?
In general.
The concept of engagement.
The concept.
I'm going to say flop for Paris Hilton and pop for general engagements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, agree. Yeah. Like, I have not seen her post a video or... Mm. Like, I just would have expected with her that there'd be a whole backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She loves to post videos on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the him dropping down on one knee?
Yeah.
Did you see Kim and Kanye's engagement?
No.
He had this whole orchestra play for her. Her whole family was there. Mm. It looked like a fashion show, and then he dropped down on one knee.
Wow.
And it was perfect.
Okay.
And they're getting divorced, so there's no hope for
anyone. Yeah. If Kimye can't make it.
And then who can?
Oh, my God. I couldn't handle a public proposal. I'd be too...
Oh, God,
I'd
they're be like, the worst.
Yeah, no. I think public proposals are a big reason to say no.
Mm-hmm. This is true. But some people love them. Like, some people, that's like...
Yeah, you can say it. Straight people love them.
Yeah,
straight
love them. Yeah, it's true. Have I told you about the proposals I had to... do with my jobs before.
Oh yes, the aquarium.
Yes, very upsetting. The penguins got involved and we just want to do our job.
Yeah. Leave the animals out of it.
Yeah, but yeah, I have to agree. Paris Hilton engagement flop, engagements in general pop.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
A tentative pop.
Mm. A tentative, yeah.
I don't trust Paris's taste in men.
Yeah.
Cut the wristbands. Yeah, flop for Paris. Find yourself, doll.
Yeah. Engage. Like, she could have bought that ring for herself. She's basically a billionaire.
Yes.
And a lot of her doco was her talking about how, like, because she was sort of saying after the breakup of one of the other guys that she was with, she was like, I kind of feel like I don't have time for a relationship. Like, I'm so focused on being an entrepreneur and running my own businesses. Like,
she wants to make her first billion.
Yeah. And I kind of thought, like, it ended on this note of, like, her being like, that's what I want. Like, I don't want the, like, settle down and thing.
I will just say, though, you always notice that there's people who want a man. And they put that energy out there. They're like, I want a man. And those people never got a man. And then there's people out there who have that energy of like, I'm good by myself. And the moment you say, I'm good by myself, some loser is going to attach yourself to you.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, I need to marry you.
Yeah.
Because you are so happy by yourself that I need to destroy this.
Someone's going to bring you down.
And that's exactly what has happened to her.
It is true, though. Once you start to like... take care of yourself, you are more attractive.
Yeah.
Like, people see that you're, like, together.
You're magnetic.
Yeah.
Glowing. Mm.
She should be focusing on her activism.
Well, she kind of has been with that,
she
like,
has.
The stuff about
true,
her, the
true.
That cult, like...
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You cannot be striving for $1 billion, but also call yourself an activist.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that you need a little bit more introspection, Paris.
Yeah.
Not to deny what happened to her. It definitely did. Yeah. And keep fighting the good fight. But also, take a moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck to the happy couple.
Alrighty. Well, this has been fun, you guys. Thank you all for listening.
And we'll see you another time.
Yeah, and
next week.
Come see our comedy festival shows.
Oh my God, please.
Yes,
do.
Please.
Yeah.
Go to comedyfestival.com.au and type in our names. Our shows will come up.
Yeah.
Buy a ticket or five. It's cheaper if you buy more, just saying.
Yeah.
Buy six. Turn up as one.
Bring your whole family.
Yeah. Bring your aging parents. They love the gays.
Geriatrics love the gays.
Bring your agent.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Bye. See you guys.
Bye.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And remember, be gay.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.